It is the case that a far greater toxic disaster for the world in purely environmental terms than Syria's use of chemical weapons is the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear complex, the site of the worst nuclear accident since Chernobyl. Though it's been more than 2 years since an earthquake and tsunami crippled that plant, the containment and cleanup effort remain incomplete, and earlier this week, the Japanese government added $500 million to that effort. Much of the money now being designated for cleanup will apparently go towards constructing a frozen wall to prevent groundwater from reaching the contaminated buildings. Arjun Makijani is an engineering specialist in nuclear fusion and the president of the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research. Arjun, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Now, this frozen wall idea, in purely engineering terms, how is that different from just any other wall?
Well, a frozen wall means you have refrigerant, as in your freezer at home, circulating in the soil. In this case, I understand it would be liquid nitrogen, and it would freeze the water in the pores of the soil. So it would literally be an ice wall, depending on that power supply and that refrigerant and the integrity of the tubes, to kind of build an underground dam to hold back the water from getting into the site and becoming contaminated.
But as an engineer, you know how Fukushima got into this problem. The tsunami and the earthquake disrupted the power source for the cooling system in the plant, and this frozen wall would depend on a continuous power supply for a cooling system to keep the nitrogen liquefied. How can that be guaranteed?
It can't be guaranteed, obviously. And they are cognizant of this problem. This cannot be more than a palliative. It's a giant experiment on a highly radioactive site. It isn't that ice walls haven't been built before, but this one would be far larger, and it would be built in a highly radioactive environment. Workers would have significant exposures, would take a long time. And then, of course, if there were an earthquake or loss of power after some time, the ice wall would melt. And now you have accumulated radioactive water that would surge through and go to the ocean. They've already built a chemical impregnated wall to hold back water, and it was overtopped. There are 300 tons a day of contaminated water flowing into the ocean from Fukushima as we speak.
Now, I'm not an engineer, but I'm detecting a certain amount of skepticism from you regarding this plan of the Japanese. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not wrong. I'm not saying they shouldn't build it, but I think trying to manage the water on site and accumulating so much highly contaminated water. Remember, now there are measurements of radioactivity near these tanks that could cause a lethal dose in a few hours. So we're talking extremely highly radioactive material that is complicating the management of this accident, which really should be centered on getting the molten fuel out of these reactors. I have suggested that they buy a super tanker, which would be cheaper than an ice wall, and really empty these tanks into a super tanker and send it elsewhere for extracting the radioactive waste and cleaning it up. But the authorities back then in 2011 rejected the idea. I haven't sent it formally now, but I think an ice wall at best will be an expensive temporary palliative with some risks.
Let's talk about the palliative. It sounds like the ice wall is more of a psychological fix for the Japanese who want this to just sort of go away and be behind a wall, as opposed to a purely engineering fix. And if we're talking about psychology, your idea of a supertanker, putting nuclear waste into a supertanker floating in the ocean, that's not going to pass muster politically in Japan.
Well, it didn't, obviously. I'm not saying an ice wall is just a psychological palliative. I think it's a technical palliative. It could hold back the problem for some time. And then you're at the mercy, basically, of Mother Nature, who may or may not be kind. And in the past, it was not kind. And so it's the responsibility of human beings to make sure that they take that into account.
Are we seeing essentially the manifestations of what is fundamentally a design flaw in the nuclear fission reactor, in a sense that there are many scenarios now that we can see where a disaster produces an environmental catastrophe that exceeds our capacity to manage because it will go on for hundreds of thousands of years?
Well, clearly, it does exceed our capacity to manage it. And I think the mismanagement on site has made it much worse. For instance, they have been, as I understand from the press, offered robotic technology to cut up the molten fuel, which is really the source of this problem primarily. And they have wanted to give contracts internally in Japan mainly. And it's become part of the old boy cozy nuclear network that seems to have gotten Japan in the problem in the first place. Now they're saying they will take international help, but it remains to be seen how serious that is.
We're talking with Arjun Makhijani, who's an engineering specialist in nuclear fusion, president of the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research. Who does this better? I mean, there are utilities all over the world that are responsible for nuclear reactors. And is it a management question or really just a design flaw in the whole operation of nuclear fission reactors?
Well, all commercial reactors are subject to catastrophic accidents. These reactors at Fukushima were older and in many ways more vulnerable because their containment buildings were not as strong as Three Mile Island. So the older reactors do have design problems. We have 31 of them in this country, in the United States. So there are design problems, and obviously there has been a management problem and a regulatory problem. Regulatory oversight tends to vary a lot around the world, better in Japan than the Soviet Union, a little bit better in the United States than Japan, but everywhere I think regulation tends to be a little on the lax side in my book, given that there can be catastrophic accidents like Fukushima.
Arjun Makhijani is an engineering specialist in nuclear fusion and president of the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research. Arjun, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.